There's two themes, obviously, here today. We have the theme of Elijah, this great prophet who was called to turn Israel from idolatry. He risked his life, had to flee, went down to Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai, had an awesome experience of God, returned and continued to preach, confronted Achaz, Ahab. He's the one who prepared Israel. And the tradition was, and it's there in Malachi, that Elijah will come and turn the hearts of fathers to their children and children to their fathers, and he will prepare the way for the Messiah. And that's this text, you know, that we have here. Blessed is he who shall have seen you and falls asleep in your friendship. Beautiful. See, Elijah in the Jewish tradition is like St. Anthony in the Catholic tradition. He always shows up to help people. That's why I remember at our Lord's death, he's calling on Elijah. Because he was, so blessed is the one who's seen you and falls asleep in your friendship. A great man. And our Lord, as the Gospel tells us, said that that's happened. Elijah is John the Baptist. He's come to prepare the people by turning from sin. Now, between that first reading and the second, we have a psalm. It's Psalm 80. And it's a psalm of national repentance and begging God to come. The refrain that we all just said, what was it?
Lord, let us see your face and we shall be saved. Make us turn to this.
That's great. I thought I was going to catch you all asleep, but I didn't. That's one of the themes of this psalm, see, is, as I've mentioned before, the word for the action of repent in Hebrew is shuv, which means to return. And so, see, what the psalm is saying, this is verse 4, Lord, make us turn to you. Make us return to you. We can't do it. That's a theme you find, and the words are probably taken, I guess, from Jeremiah, where he says the same thing. Make us return to you, and then we will have returned. So here we are, a mess. Here we are, entrusted with the care of the whole world. When Jesus died and rose again and left us, he said, now, take care of the whole world. Let them know who I am. Let them know who the Father is. Help them. Help them to stop killing each other and hating each other. Help them to have good marriages and bring their children up. Help them to share everything they have with the poor. Help them. Help them. Let them know who I am. Let them see my face. And we haven't done a very good job. And we're in a mess. And so this Saturday, we take this psalm and we say, Lord, make us return to you. And then, our translation has, let us see your face. But you know, it's much more beautiful than that. It says, Ha'ir Fanecha. Make your face shine on us. You know that lovely blessing in Deuteronomy, in the book of Numbers? Here it is. Now, what does it mean? Did you ever think? This is how, when you have the time, you see, you can pray. You can say, Lord, I just ask you to have your face shine on us and shine on me. What does that mean? Well, think, for instance, somebody you love, somebody you look up to, and you come into their presence, and they smile. Their face lights up. We even say that in English, right? It's a biblical expression. Look on us with enthusiasm, with love, with mercy. Actually, it says a little later in the psalm, O Lord, shuv, return, come back to us. Because we can't come back to you if you don't come back to us. So let your face shine on us. You know, as I say, is that lovely blessing. So it doesn't mean just let us see your face. Suppose we saw his face and he was frowning. It means let your face shine on us. You know, let us bask in your love. Let us be sure of your love. Bring us, win us over by your love. We're a mess. And we've got this whole world to preach to, and we can't even preach to ourselves. So let your face shine on us, you see. Bring us back. Make us return. And then we will really return, as Jeremiah says, you see. Well, how does he make us return? Like the prodigal son, right? What does the prodigal son say? I'm going to get up and return to my father. Now, we don't return with our feet. We return with our heart. We go back to him. And when we go back, you see, we don't go back alone. We say, Lord, I stand here as a representative of a very mixed up church, a very mixed up world. And I say, have mercy on us. Let your face shine on us. Let us see your smile. Win us over again. You know, we're either mad at you or afraid of you or don't know who you are or try to tell all the little kids you don't exist or, you know, just let us see your face again. You see our big responsibility? You see? Somebody the other day, I was talking to them and they walked off. They weren't happy with what I was telling them. And about 10 minutes later they came back and they said, may I come back? I said, of course you can come back. I had to do that. Isn't that what God the Father does for me? Don't I see his face shine? I turn and say, I'm sorry. What do I see? I see his face shine. That's how he wins us over, isn't it? And then we're supposed to be so convinced that we can go out and witness to the world. Just turn. Just turn. Be reconciled to your wife. Stop stealing. Get out of all this sensuality and turn to him. And you'll see his face shine. He will make you. He will help you. He will bring you back. So you see how today, when we have this message of Elijah, first the text in Sirach about Elijah, you call down fire 3 times, wow. Now he's come to prepare the people. There are allusions in the Gospels too that Jesus does some of the functions of Elijah. But you see, so now here we are, we got 2 weeks left to prepare for the coming of the Lord. Now, this isn't make-believe. We should really pray that little by little we enter once again into the mystery of what liturgy really is. It's the whole body of Christ, moved by the Holy Spirit, to have at the very heart of itself and of every believer the love, the intercession, the praise, the repentance of Jesus. Preparing. He yearns. He yearns to come. So he yearns to come in us. And as we try to, you know, return to him, stop our sins, get reconciled, you see. So then, at that moment, when throughout this whole little globe, all those who believe in him celebrate his new presence among us. He is present in a new and mystical way in the church. the grace of his coming. It's the grace of Christmas. And therefore, in us, this new presence can radiate out to the world. That's what it's all about. So you see, preaching the gospel is not the same as trying to close a sale. You take Jesus, you take Dwight, I got him. How do you know you got him? Tomorrow he'll be right back where he was before. It's not closing a sale. It's letting them see that Jesus' face shines on them so that they never forget it. Even if they sin, they go back. So it's a beautiful psalm. Most of the psalm is saying, you know, oh Lord, you took us and you planted us like a vine right in the land. And the vine spread out over the whole land and we were doing great. And now look at us. Every passerby plucks what they want. The boars are eating us. We're a mess. And then they pray. This is part of the psalm today. May your help be with the man of your right hand. Who's that? That's Jesus. The man of your right hand. With the Son of Man whom you made strong. See, may your help be with him. Of course his help is with you. He's risen from the dead. He's glorious. He's the eternal Son of God. But he's also human. Then we will no more withdraw from you. That's the opposite of return, right? Give us new life. And we will call on your name. We'll let the whole world know what you've done for us. There's great treasures in these psalms. Great treasures in these psalms. I keep forgetting to bring down. I'll do it Monday. St. Athanasius, when he's writing to somebody about the Psalms, and he says, one of the things that the Psalms teach us to do is have the right emotions. You know, I'm all upset because, oh, I don't know what, I didn't have a good breakfast or whatever, you know. No, I should be upset. But about the world, the war, the hatred, the loneliness, the persecution, the starvation. That I should be upset about. You see what I mean? Train our emotions. I should be happy because the Redskins won. Well, it's a miracle. No, because the Lord is coming. The Lord has come. I don't know if you see it, maybe because I have contact with a lot of you. There is a wave of light moving through the church right now. A wave of light. We see all this darkness, right? The good old golden compass and now Oprah with her 365-day course on New Age coming up in her radio show and everything. And the Lord is just saying, I'm just going to push that aside, and I'm going to give you light. You're going to see my face shine on you. And for those who don't want it, they're in trouble.